Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Bigfoot Notes in the Field. I'm your host, William Jebning. Today, I'm talking with Dustin Clark, who is our the head of our Oklahoma team and also the assistant regional director for the whole southeastern United States. Dustin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, I guess first of all, let me do some information for you. Now, I haven't checked lately because things change on the website periodically. Did David get your JRG email up there on the Oklahoma page?
Yes. My the email is all set up. I don't believe I have the assistant regional director email yet, but my Oklahoma one is for sure up and ready.
Okay, so folks, if you wanna get in touch with Dustin, go on our website, williamjevning.com, and as you scroll down the main page, you're going to see some items at the top. One of those is going to be research teams. Just place your cursor over that, and you'll get a drop-down menu. And I'm not sure, it's probably on the Oklahoma page. So go to click on the Oklahoma page, and Dustin's email will be there. Do you want to give out your email while we're talking?
Yes, it's I believe it's jrgcentralok@gmail.com.
Okay, awesome. So anybody in Oklahoma or the entire southeastern United States, if you've got something to report, you want to join the Jevning Research Group, the JRG, get a hold of Dustin. Jay, our regional director, has been pretty busy, so Dustin's been a real help to him. So great job, Dustin. Let's go ahead. And of course, we want to talk about things that you're doing and also, you know, things like what you've got envisioned, you know, for your part of the JRG. But let's go ahead and start talking about how you got involved in the subject of Bigfoot. What got you into all this?
Well, since I was a kid, I've always been fascinated by it. The first thing I watched on it was the Boggy Creek Legend. My grandma used to have it, and I've watched it over and over and again, and it kind of started about the beginning of this year, really, that I really got back into being interested in it, because one day my 6-year-old daughter wanted to watch a Bigfoot show, so we started watching documentaries, and then I found some of your books and really got into it, and it's kind of blew off since then.
Sure, kind of spiraled into it since then, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, you know what's interesting? And I don't recall how long ago it was. Now, 2 or 3 years ago, I interviewed a gentleman from Hanobia, Oklahoma, who had a really striking series of events happened. Mike Humphreys, you know, and we called it the Siege of Hanobia. And which is really great that you're in that part of the state, because, and just in Oklahoma in general, because there's a lot of stuff that goes on there, and not really a lot of it gets out. So,
yeah,
you want to talk about any of that, you know, from your perspective?
Well, the main part of the state where a lot of the sightings and encounters have happened are in southeastern Oklahoma, which is where Hanobia is. And right now we're trying to find an area as close as we can to there. Most of the land that's around where the incident happened is private land. So you either got to have a hunting lease or get permission for somebody, you know, to go out there. And a lot of people out there are kind of secluded and, you know, don't really like outsiders too much. So it's we're working on it. It's a work on progress getting somewhere out there. But we also have a lead on a possible hotspot, kind of in central Oklahoma. It's only about 1 hour 15 from where I'm at. So, and we've also we've had quite a bit of sightings. It's kind of been slow here lately. I haven't heard very much, but we're working on trying to find a good area to research.
And it could be just the time of year too, because typically, and it's been throughout the history, of Bigfoot reports that have come in, that typically summer and fall are the heavy sighting times, and as we're heading towards winter and spring, that seems to be the leanest times that reports come in.
Yeah, and it's a little bit harder this year because we haven't had that everything's dried up just about because we haven't had very much rainfall. So it's, I mean, we gotta make sure wherever we go, we're around food sources, water source, and it's just kind of been hit and miss. So.
And you guys, well, I should say the area that you're looking into, southeastern Oklahoma, really isn't that far from where the Boggy Creek incidents happened, famously in the 60s and 70s, and even much longer ago than that. I actually have a friend who, and it's interesting, he's kind of an older guy. He is a musician. And I honestly don't recall how we got to be friends at the moment, but he was there, knew the guy who actually produced the film The Legend of Boggy Creek, the original one. And with the series of events that happened there, they were going out to film one day, he said, and they had everything packed up. They were going to go by boat. Everything was, covered, wrapped, protected from water. And as they were getting ready to board the canoes and head upstream, the creature appeared across the water and screamed at him. I guess scared the hell out of the whole film crew. And my friend, he said that he was going to, made it very publicly known that he was going to go out and shoot the thing. Well, a day or two later, here comes the governor of Arkansas and his entourage. And he said that the governor came up to him and personally issued a verbal cease and desist order. They said that the monster had been the state's mascot for something like 68 years at that time. So they knew about it all this time. So it was just, it's pretty interesting, you hear about things like this occasionally. But you're not really that far from where that whole area is, right?
I'm about three and a half hours to where to Falco or Falk,
How many
which is
miles?
where
How many miles do you think that is? Roughly.
I'm not too sure, maybe 200, 250 possibly.
Which isn't that far. Now, folks, if you've heard me talk before about Sasquatch ranges, a Sasquatch range is a minimum of 500 square miles for a single group. So, 250 miles is really not that far. I mean, where the things are happening around that part of Oklahoma could certainly we be part of a range for creatures in Falk, Arkansas. So I'm sorry, go ahead. I just had to wanted to interject that a little bit in there.
Oh yeah, it's about a 3 hour drive down there. We haven't really looked into going down and checking out Boggy Creek yet. I know my guy in Arkansas, Kendall. He's kind of interested in heading down to the Boggy Creek area, but we've got a few more hot spot or possible hot spots that we're looking into. Like, there's one more central Oklahoma that has had a lot of sightings and supposed missing persons, but we haven't really checked into the missing persons part yet.
Are these missing person reports, are they sort of, I don't know, I mean, there's no really way, I guess, at this point to know if they're in conjunction with Bigfoot sightings or not, but I guess do they happen in fairly close proximity, right?
Yeah, they're within maybe about 100, 150 miles proximity of each other of this one location. Well, that's what my guys has been telling me. Sorry.
Are you familiar with the any of the sightings, the stories that have come out of that region?
Not out of this area just yet. He actually just contacted me about an hour and a half before you gave me a call, so I'm still kind of learning on it.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, what a, I mean, I guess that's the whole thing. Well, let me talk about the stuff you and your team are doing. What sort of things have you experienced so far in the field?
Well, this past weekend was the first weekend we've really gone out as a full team, which right now there's only six of us. Well, five, I guess. And over the weekend, we did a daytime hike. We made sure we knew where everything was, kind of got familiar with the land that we were at, which was ended up being public land. But we got familiar with it. We got there Friday. We waited till I believe Saturday night before we actually went and did a nighttime hike. What we were trying to practice doing is we would hike for a little while, then we'll turn off our flashlights, sit there in the quiet for about 10-15 minutes, and then one of my guys actually has a small parabolic ear. And after about 10-15 minutes, we'd turn it on and just scan the area, listen, be real quiet. We're more of the go in and be as quiet as possible.
Sure.
And because we've all grown up hunting, and, you know, if you're going out into the woods to look for a wild animal, you're not going to be tramping around, being loud, and hitting trees and
doing an alarm. Yeah, like, you know, some TV shows I won't mention.
Yeah. But, yeah, we don't try to do no locator calls or, you know, beating stakes against each other or nothing like that. We just try to go out there and be as quiet as possible. I mean, where we were at over the weekend, you had to use a flashlight to walk on these trails because it was real rocky, and on one side it was almost going straight up of the trail, and then on the other side it was, you know, a drop off, and one wrong step and you'd be rolling for a quarter mile before you got stopped.
Now, is this a location that's had a lot of sightings come from previously?
There has been a few sightings. It's about 30 to 40 minutes from actual Hanobia, and there was, I looked on it last week, and it looked like there hadn't been any reported sightings in the last 2 years. The last one was an actual daytime sighting where Sasquatch, during the day, just ran across the road in front of this little old lady and scared the bejesus out of her.
I can well imagine.
Yeah. But, there hadn't, from what where I got my sources, I haven't had any luck finding any recent ones out there, and we just figured we'd go out there and give it a shot.
Yeah, I've actually got a couple people that have had some things happen. I need to send that information to you so you can connect with them. You know, you brought up a good point. There's a lot of places around the country, and I remember a couple of years ago talking to people. I was getting the impression from conversations that this was mostly in the southeastern part of the country, where locals would be very quiet, not wanting to talk to outsiders, but it's really everywhere. It's, you can go just about anywhere in the country, and when you get away from urban areas, I mean, unless people know you, they're not really willing to talk, especially about something that has a ridicule factor attached to it.
Yeah. But so speaking on that, though, about 2 weeks ago, my mom and my grandpa, they live about less than 2 miles from me, and in the last few months, we've actually been having a lot of we're out in the country, and we've been having a lot of new developments coming in, and they're clearing out a bunch of land. And my mom actually asked me, you're really into that Bigfoot stuff, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, why? She was like, well, I wasn't sure if I was going to say anything, but the other night I was, she was out on our front porch for something. She said it was just getting dark. she said within about 50 yards to the south of her house in the woods, something just let off a blood-curdling scream, and she could hear it taking off through the woods. And I'll try to get her. I was like, well, how big do you think it was? Did it sound like a mountain lion? Was it running on all fours? Was it running on two legs? And she wasn't 100% sure. She just heard that scream and heard something take off, and she got in the house.
But it was a sound that she was unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, too, because a lot of people are, you know, especially those who live in an area a long time, get pretty mm-hmm. familiar with the wildlife that's in the area.
Yeah.
And when you hear something like that, that's really different than anything else, it sort of makes me really think that, you know, I mean, I tend to believe people who live in areas for a long time and know what's out there and know what it sounds like, so.
Yeah. Well, we...
Go ahead.
When I was younger, we had a mountain lion that would come through the property once a month, and it would just scream the whole time it would come through the property. Sure. And I kept it was either mountain lion or bobcat. More than my grandpa said, it was mountain lion. But I asked my mom, I was like, "Are you sure it's not like the mountain lion that you know used to be out here?" And she was like, "No, it sounded nothing like that." She said it was louder, it was deeper, and it scared the out of her.
Okay. Yeah, no doubt. And how long ago did that happen, you said?
That was 2 to 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's very recent. Now, it's interesting. Now, how long ago did they start working on these housing projects?
They started, there's one going up behind my house, and they started it a year and a half ago. And then, actually, across the road from their house is one they just started clearing a month or two ago. And it used to be, it backs right up to public land, which is right off of a big lake out here. And all that used to be was just thick, thick woods for miles. And I think there used to even be a mountain bike trail back there, but now they've got it cleared off. There's big, you know, McMansions out there now. And they're just clearing that off. Then I got the land east of me, they're starting to develop that as well. So we've actually had a real bad coyote problem since they started.
You know, yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. That might be a prime location for you to look at where your mother heard that noise, you know, especially with the very recent, you know, like you said, a month ago they started working that land to build houses. And 2 weeks ago, she heard the scream.
Yeah.
So I think it's not too big a stretch you can make a connection with that.
And I told you about the few things that have actually been happening around my house.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk to us about that.
Now, I'm not saying it's Bigfoot. I'm not 100% sure until I know. I mean, you know, I'm not going to put an actual label on it. But
and that's what we do in the JRG. We try not to just jump to conclusions. You know, it's a wait and see. Let's, you know, it's not fitting into other things that you know because you know the area, you know the wildlife.
Yeah.
But you can't say for 100% certain.
Yeah. I think the very first thing that happened is about a month and a half ago. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark, and I get up and I head to work. Well, I walked out the front door and I got up to my truck, reached for the door handle. And as soon as I did, it sounded like me up in the woods, maybe 30 yards away going, who, just like that. And I mean, it could have been a crazy person up there. I don't know. But, it stopped me and I was like, that was not a normal owl. And the hairs on the back of my neck stood straight, and I was like, just ignore it for now, get in the truck and go to work.
Right.
And let's see, what else? I've heard, I think it was footsteps. I was out on my front porch one night, and I had my flashlight out, and I was looking for some, I was getting something out of my truck, and it sounded like something stepped out from behind a tree, and I heard, the first impression was I heard something step from, like, heel to toe, the pressure hitting the leaves, and then it did it again. It stopped, and I kept looking and was shining my light, but I couldn't, it's, the area to the west of my house is so thick, you can't see through the brush with a regular flashlight. That was that. Then it was about 2 weeks ago. My wife was actually working late that night, and I was on the back porch messing with the dogs, and I heard a thump, 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 and it kind of sounded like running, but I can't explain how what that was, but about 3 seconds later, I heard a pop, like kind of like a baseball hit, bat hitting a ball. And my dog, he's a big scaredy cat. He just about wet himself trying to get back into the house. And I got spooked, so I went in the house. And the next morning, my wife actually told me when she got home, she got home about 3 o'clock that morning, that from one side of our house in the woods, she heard a snap, like if I was breaking just like a little branch. And then she said by the time she got up on the porch, there's one from the other side of the house, snap. And she got in the house before she could get too scared, I guess. And she actually had to wake me up because she stopped and got groceries. And so I was going back and forth from the car getting groceries, and she didn't tell me till the next morning that she heard something out there. So the next morning when she told me, I was like, why didn't you tell me? I would have looked for something.
She's like, yeah, exactly. You could have gone out and scouted around the daytime and seen if there was any sign of what was making that noise.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to keep an eye out. I take my dog on a walk around the property. I mean, we only have 2.8 acres, but we have, you know, woods to our north, south, east, and west. Sure. And we do have neighbors. I mean, they're not that close, but they're, you know, closer than I'd like, but there's still plenty of room for deer and coyotes to move through without us seeing them. Plus, we got big power lines cutting through the property to the north of us.
Through your property?
No, it don't go through my property. It's
it's close by.
Yeah, it's within 100 yards.
Because I'll tell you something, power lines, you know, the number one place, this is something John Green put together many years ago, and it kind of holds up when you look at reports. Probably 70% of Sasquatch sightings, at least in the past, happen near or on roads. But also railroad tracks and power lines. And... we'll talk about this privately why that's significant, but it is important.
That's interesting.
It's not what people would think as far as them using those for you know, access ways, because Sasquatches are, you know, are perfectly capable of just going cross country. But other animals use those access ways. And anything that hunts will hunt along those open areas where game animals are.
I didn't think about it like that.
Well, you know, when you're looking at wildlife, you got to think about what motivates them. And something as big as a Sasquatch with a very high caloric intake, the necessary large caloric intake daily, the vast bulk of what their behavior surrounds is eating. So, if you want to find a Sasquatch, watch their food sources.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to keep a little bit better eye out here at the house, then, I guess.
So, I mean, and that's a lot of it. It's just keeping an eye open to where, kind of thinking about what they would be doing and sort of keeping an eye on those kinds of locations.
All right. Yeah, I think Joe and Shane will probably hear that. I probably got Sasquatch at my house, and they'll probably be wanting to come up here and board for a month.
Yeah, probably so. You know, we had them on last week's show talking about their trip to East Texas, and
yeah, that was,
and it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that sounded like a pretty good time.
And I'm hoping as we move along with the Jevning Research Group, that'll happen more often, you know, with different people from different locations getting together, going out into the field, you know, and really making a cohesive team. So,
yeah.
And it's also, and it, you know, like I said, your area has always been very interesting to me because of the kind of stuff that comes out of Oklahoma.
Mm. Yeah, we're down here in Oklahoma, we're all a little bit different. So it would only make sense if our Bigfoot was, you know.
A little different?
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, now what else is going on in that area?
Really, right now, that's all I got.
Okay. What about your organization? What do you have planned for as far as being an assistant regional director and a team leader? What would you like to see happen under your leadership?
Well, I would like to grow my group or my team a little more. I mean, the guys I got right now, they're the best. They're smart. They're just great guys to be around. But I would like, you know, for JRG or our group to be able to bring the light that we need to. I mean, basically,
you'd like to open up the subject the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you, so folks know out there, now you're helping Jay handle the whole southeastern part of the United States. And I'm not sure the regional directors divided up their territory, so I haven't seen the recent map, so I'm not sure exactly what states all that encompasses. So you have a list of the states that you are kind of watch over. You want to maybe tell us which those are, and like I said, I've been trusting everything to the regional director, so I've been focusing on other projects myself, so I don't have the current one at hand, so I'm deferring to you guys for the moment. But I know we are represented in at least 32 states,
mm-hmm.
and most of Canada. We have teams now in India, Indonesia, Norway, England, and I know I'm missing one. That's terrible. It's growing pretty big. So it's not that I'm losing track. I'm kind of fighting a head cold. So everybody will excuse me if I'm a little fuzzy, you know. But anyway, go ahead and tell us what states you're covering.
The states I'm covering with Jay are Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Missouri, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and that's it that I'm helping him with. And the ones that I have that are just me alone are Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Mississippi.
I know technically you're in Joe's region, but because Jay has been so busy, we were kind of not able to find anybody in his region that was willing to be an assistant regional director. So you stepped up to the plate, and I'm really glad you did.
Yep, thank you. Yep, it's been pretty cool. It's still kind of been slow. Jay, I haven't been able to talk too much with him because he's been busy, but he said, I believe last time I talked to him, he said he was gonna following up on a witness. I forgot what state he said, but he said for him it's been pretty much slow, hasn't been contacted very much. So
yeah, I recently interviewed someone in Alabama, and I know he spoke with those folks fairly recently, so
that might have been he was talking about.
Yeah, I it might be. They have a series of peripheral things that are going on. I'm trying to remember. It was actually the lady's son who had a direct encounter, and kind of a spooky one. But so anyway, he's following up on that, that area is pretty interesting. I've interviewed a few other people in the past from that part of the country, and very interesting stuff. Just like, you know, where you are in Oklahoma, there's some really fascinating stuff that's going on there. And, you know, of course, I'm encouraging people. What we're doing with the JRD, you know, for those listening, is we're still really in the organizational phase of the research group. And the research group is made up of teams everywhere. So, and the teams coordinate and cooperate with one another, you know, unlike the Bigfoot community, as everyone sees. You go online and there's all sorts of fighting amongst each other. And,
yeah.
I don't consider the Jevning Research Group any part of the Bigfoot community whatsoever. So, which is good, because we've actually attracted a number of prominent people from the scientific community, not the ones that are known in the Bigfoot community. These are people outside. And actually, some people really don't want their name associated with it. However, they like our approach and are willing to work with us. So that's been really pleasing to me. And of course, we have quite a number of police, former and current, ex-military, some current military, a lot of professionals. We have a former naval scientist. We have a the list goes on and on, it seems like. But I'm really encouraged by that. So, you know, for people listening, if you're interested in being involved in this at all, get a hold of people like Dustin, because and we can use any sort of help. It doesn't have to be people who want to go out and look for Bigfoot in the field. If you have any sort of interest in assisting us, now certainly we can use, and I don't know if you were on the email, we had one gentleman who was offering to train our people in forensic evidence collection.
Really?
And yeah, he's a professional at it, and was offering to teach our people. So, you know, if anyone wants to help us be more professional and do things right, that's what we're looking for. Or if you're somebody that's just, you know, you hear what's going on. You know, if somebody, you know, here's somebody that may have had an encounter, you know, get a hold of somebody that's in your part of the country that is part of our organization. And we certainly, you know, would follow up on it. And one of the things that our guarantee, and has been my hallmark for many years, is guaranteeing people's anonymity. If they wish that, and I can tell you from my own very first introduction to the subject, when, you know, we were 14 and found footprints, we were the butt of a lot of jokes after that. So, you know, after that experience, especially when you're a kid, you tend to clam up pretty quickly. So, I've actually spoken with a lot of people, you know, laymen and very high level professionals that have had experiences that don't want people to know they've had an experience, don't want the information out. But they needed to talk to somebody, I guess, to validate that what they experienced did, in fact, happen. You know, and it's a lot of people sort of move on past that incident. So, by all means, get in touch with us, you know, myself or anybody on the website when you look at those team pages. And if you don't see your state or region on those pages. Now, David, who put the website together, built the website. You know, of course, it's fairly cumbersome work. Didn't put all the team pages up there. So if you're not seeing where you are, just get a hold of one of the regional directors or one of the assistant regional directors like you, Dustin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these guys will direct you to the people in your area that we have. So, anything else that you'd like to talk about before we wrap up, or?
This past expedition that we did, you know, we didn't really come across anything, and you kind of mentioned something after I let you know how it went. I was thinking about it, and, you know, if you're going out there and you're going to a spot that you're not sure of, looking for Bigfoot. And if you go out there and you don't see anything all weekend, the whole time you're there, you know, don't get discouraged, because it's just, you know, you win some, you lose some. But just look at it like you're spending time out in nature, you're learning new stuff, and just have fun with it. Don't beat yourself up if you can't find, you know, a footprint or hair or get vocals, you know. Just go out there and have fun.
I think a lot of people mistakenly think, you know, they want to get involved in this and they're just going to go out the first weekend out and you know, drag one in by his backside.
And
I can tell you, I used to, when I was in the Vancouver area, when I lived there, I kept very meticulous records about how much time I spent in the field. And it averaged from year to year between 12 and 15,000 hours a year, which sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. It was mainly evenings, weekends, vacations, stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But I spent a lot of time, you know, in Clark and Skamania counties and Klickitat County and some of the other surrounding areas in southern Washington. And, you know, for every 100 times you go out, you might find something once.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I spent a lot of time being discouraged, but I used to have to tell myself, well, I get to see a lot of beautiful nature, a lot of really beautiful countryside that I would never see otherwise.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you kind of have to look for the silver lining in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right. Don't get discouraged. Enjoy it. You know, don't be too serious. I mean, when you find something, be serious.
Yeah.
Collect it properly. But, you know, if you don't find something, it's not the end of the world.
Exactly. Well, that's all I got.
All right, Dustin. Well, listen, I really appreciate it. We'll definitely have you and your team members on again, because it's one of the things I want to do is to kind of rotate around the JRG, the Jumping Research Group, and bring different people and teams on to talk about your experiences, what's going on in your area, what your plans are, goals, things like that. And again, everybody go to my website, williamjevnik.com. We've got lots of interesting things up there. Check out our Facebook page. It's the JRG Bigfoot Research Group. I think we're just about at 1,000 members on the page. There's not a lot of craziness up there. People come up with crazy stuff, usually get removed from the site. We don't tolerate very much of that stuff. So, but it's not that you can't have a, you know, an open discussion, because there's people that will certainly discuss things with you up there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're stubborn and just crazy, then you're going to go. You know, sorry, folks, that's just the way it is. But so, all right, Dustin. Well, again, thanks, and keep me posted about what's happening in your area.
All right, thanks for having me on here, and I look forward to being back.
All right, my friend, so we'll chat again real soon.
All right.